Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
I wait till too far into the theme song to decide to put eye drops in. And, because dry eye is a problem that, hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. This ep of Doug Loves Movies is being taped in front of a live audience at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles, California. California. And this is August 24th. I've never tried to do that, and I thought it came out pretty good. Not even in my car alone. This is August 24th, right? 2010. The special episode that we recorded on August 15th at Parlor Live in Bellevue, Washington, should be available on iTunes for just $2 right now. You have to go to the Doug Benson comedy recording section. It's not in the podcast section, but it's on iTunes, and it should be $2 or $1.99 for two parts of a very long, fun episode. But when we first put it out, iTunes, something went wrong, and they listed it as $9.99. So if you're listening and you paid $9.99 for it and now suddenly it's $2, I'm sorry, and maybe we can work something out. I don't know how you'd prove that you paid $9.99 for it. If I just said, you know, come to me and let me know, then everybody's going to be like, I paid $9.99 for it. Because $7 is... Okay, so my new CD, DVD, Doug Benson Hypocritical Oath, plops on Tuesday, August 31st, so that should be after a lot of you are hearing this podcast, so please... try to get a copy. If you get the download, obviously the DVD part isn't there, but the DVD is two episodes that I did of Comedy Central Presentations. And someone here tonight's going to win a copy of Hypocritical Oath when we play Leonard Maltin game at the end of the show. And also, did you guys coming in, did y'all get posters for Hypocritical Oath? Did you get those as you walked in? Lovely. Great fun was had by me in Spokane and Boise last weekend. Special shout-outs to Nito Burrito and Flatbread Community Oven in Spokane and Boise, respectively. I saw Piranha 3D or not 3D. It depends on who you talk to. Some, you know, sometimes it's just like at the beginning of the movie, it just says Piranha. There's no 3D. But I saw it yesterday, and it has so much nudity and violence in it that I didn't know whether to masturbate or masturbate. Boom. That was a tweet some people may have already enjoyed, but I couldn't resist the opportunity to say it one more time or out loud. Maybe it'll go in the act. Maybe it'll be on my next album that I'm going to record next year on 420. But for now, because this is a delicious segue, let's bring out my guests. The stars of Piranha 3D, Adam Scott, Elizabeth Shue, and Rob Hubel. Pick any chairs you'd like, fellas. Elizabeth, you look awesome. Thank you for coming.
I want to be very clear. I'm not in that movie.
Yeah, but you like you've worked with Paul Scheer quite a bit. He's in the movie.
I know Paul real well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Jerry O'Connell, you've done some things with him.
Jerry.
He's in the movie.
Jerry's a good guy.
Do you know, have you met Elizabeth?
We actually met at... Can you hear me? Is this working? Does this
sound
normal?
Okay. Let's get, there it is. A little hotter for you.
We actually met Elizabeth at Comic-Con.
Hot.
I was down there, and I saw you guys at that party.
So
and I was
Piranha party.
Yeah, I was very drunk, but you were charming, Elizabeth.
What else would you do?
Thank you.
This is funny, because I said, Rob Hubel, come down, and you can pretend to be Jerry O'Connell or Paul Scheer. And then I didn't foresee that we'd need someone to pretend to be Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah. I'm sort of a mashup.
What do you mean?
Elizabeth, seriously, quit joking around.
Okay, sorry.
You know that scene in Cocktail where you show a little side boob?
Yeah.
That made me a man. I turned into a man that day.
Someone in the audience goes, woo, side boobs.
I think it was trending on Twitter recently, side boobs.
There are a lot of side boobs in the movie.
It was right under Netanyahu. What?
There are a lot of side boobs in the movie Piranha 3D.
And front boobs.
There are a lot of like everything.
And people getting boobs. Chewed apart boobs.
Yeah.
Boobs getting gnawed on. It's, that movie,
are
like.
Are boobs getting ripped off? Because in the script there were boobs torn off. And I remember reading it being like, all right. But I don't remember.
Yay, she's here!
Hey!
Hey. Hello!
Oh!
This is dumb. Elizabeth,
she went right to Hubel. That's what she should do. Go right to Hubel. That's Rob Hubel on the end. He's representing a hybrid of my friends Jerry O'Connell and Paul Scheer, who both have careers too hot.
Yeah.
To O'Connell is right now is arguing with Jim Belushi somewhere, on camera or off, and okay or whatever. And Paul Scheer is working on a new season of The League. So hopefully we'll do a Cast of the League episode soon when that comes back on the air.
Can I be here for that show?
Are you in the league?
Not really.
So yeah. When somebody bails, then you can be the third chair again.
Cool.
So what about side boobs?
Oh, I was just saying that I think they're an affront to society. And that's why it's called an affront, because it's not a side. And that... yeah, I was kind of, I didn't think you'd walk in during that part of the conversation.
How did that come up, Doug?
Did I have anything to do with that?
Yeah, because remember in Cocktail when you guys are in the when you guys are in the private grotto, when you're over at Hef's place, and you're like, "All right," I always respected that about you because you kept it hot without giving it up.
I didn't know that a side of my boob was even showing.
Oh, really?
Well, we all know. Wow. I think it's been studied by this group.
Yeah, I mean, that you throw your hands up in the air, that's going to happen.
Ta-da!
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for the recreation. Try to think about that, listeners. I'll get right to it. You looked amazing in your sheriff outfit in Piranha, I got to say. And I think, yeah.
I did not feel very sexy in that outfit, but Adam told me every day that my ass looked good.
Did I? I did.
Yeah, I remember that. That happened.
You're like Tom Lennon on the set of that movie where, Amy wore the, Amy Adams wore the Amelia Earhart pants through the entire movie. Like, he agreed with me that that was amazing. But let's get this, even though Piranha is probably one of the most disgusting movies made ever on a couple different levels, did you guys know going into it that it would be that much of a boob and penis festival?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's so lying.
No, we knew it the whole time. We were like, what the fuck is this?
Were there pages in the script for underwater nude ballet?
Yeah.
There were?
I don't know.
Or did that?
I don't remember that, but I do remember seeing the script line where the fish ate his penis and then it was written burp.
Spoiler alert.
And that's when you're like, I'm in.
That's where I was almost not in. But now I have to say it's my favorite part in the movie.
It's classy.
It's, yeah.
Totally.
It's a classy movie.
If you're going to eat human flesh, you'd probably cough up Jerry O'Connell's dick. Spoiler again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a big, that actually is a big
totally,
spoiler.
That's a pretty big spoiler, but look at his character. It's the perfect comeuppance.
Yeah.
Because he's such a, it's the same people thing here, happened to Joe Francis.
How many people here have seen the movie?
It's based on a true story.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that's
Piranha,
about accurate.
The original. That was about the percentage throughout the country, I think. You guys,
pretty much.
You guys opened in like
a
fifth
smattering
place.
Of applause across America. There is someone drinking a 40 in the front row, and I salute you, man.
It's true. Don't tell, though.
This place tries to be cool, man.
Why do you have to be... You play a cop in too many things.
That's right. Get that
you
fucking 40 down.
Bring it to
down.
Your real life. Because I got to say, Adam, when you... I've seen now... We watched Torque together here at Cine Family in Los Angeles.
You ever heard of Torque?
On a couple nights ago, and that was a fun live event. And I'm going to do more of those at CineFamily. So if you're in LA,
it was so fun.
Come see us do that. Yeah, that's the. Hopefully, I'll be able to get somebody that was in a movie that's turned out kind of unintentionally funny.
And well, I was in Monster in Law.
Yeah, we could. Well, that's what I'm saying. We could revisit again. We could do Monster in Law. Maybe you could talk J Lo or Jane Foe into coming down. And come on, Jane Foe, you guys.
Jane Foe.
That was like, I could barely concentrate with Elizabeth Shue sitting right here.
I don't think that would be a...
And I still hit home runs. Woo! There, she did it again.
Just keep doing that.
I will.
I don't think that would be a fun evening, really.
Now, let's, wait a second. Let me just back up, as long as you did that again. There's been some body double situations in your career, am I right?
There was one, yes. You saw that movie?
What was it called, Link?
Yeah!
Yes!
You
oh my
didn't
God.
See that movie.
I can't believe
you did
I,
not
yes,
see that
yes, I
movie,
did see
no.
that movie. I forget if it was in a theater or on cable waiting for your nude scene, but...
Wait, what's
when
Link?
When it finally
what
come,
that?
I was like, fakers. Because it was never, you know, you got to have the face in the shot. That's yeah. all I'm saying. So
it's like Heather Thomas in Zapped. I was like 7, and I was like, bullshit.
But it happens a couple times in the movie, right?
No, just once. But just I'm totally
naked. But there's a lot of
build up
to it. There's a lot of scenes where you're like start to get into a bathtub and
no.
But then what's the scene with the double? Does
he
it involve a bathtub
movie.
Or a shower?
Yes, the monkey is
so.
Looking at my body for
yeah,
the
there
first
you go.
Time. And I did
the monkey.
I did know.
Oh, it's called Link because it's called Link because it's about a monkey.
It's a horror movie. It's a horror movie with an orangutan, but we had to use an orangutan and he had to wear little chimp ears because actual chimps are too dangerous.
Yeah, when they reach a certain age, they're like nuts.
But let me tell you about that scene. The scene was all to capture his animalistic intentions, and so I did show my boobs to the real chimpanzee. So his reaction.
You could have been
is
killed.
All me.
But what a story.
It's a classy show you got going here.
Actress, yeah. Actress Elizabeth Shue was breast examined to death by a wild animal on the set of her movie. That would get right on the ticker in entertainment.
Breast examined to death has never, those words have never been put together before.
Was it awkward? Was it awkward between you and the monkey for the rest of the shoot?
Yes, he wanted me from then on.
Did he have like any kind of reaction at all? Like, did they, does that register with them?
No, it totally did. That's what was fascinating. His eyes got a little bigger. And he locked in.
Well, he had seen Cocktail, so.
Oh, what did I do to deserve full boob? I would have settled for sides.
You get full boob in leaving Las Vegas, too, with whiskey running down them.
It's true.
Hello.
It's true.
Yeah, but, you know, it was, I don't know. There's something about when it's a drama and someone gets naked, it's harder to be like, yeah. It's more like, oh, they have a problem. These two are not going to be good for each other. I'm too much of a, I'm a cancer. That's why I think that way.
But you're aroused by seeing boobs in a movie about monkeys?
It's such a great... I think our good friend Leonard Maltin, the film critic, gave that movie bomb. I think it's the only one in your career that he gave bomb to. He gave 3.5 stars to like 4 of your movies, Leaving Las Vegas, the third Back to the Future, which is... That's sticking your neck out, 3.5 stars for the third Back to the Future. But I agree, because it's like the first Back to the Future, but in the Wild West, and with you instead of that other girl. And that's enough to fascinate me when it's on cable. It's all it takes, is just going, this is weird. This was a weird choice. The Westerns were dead, and Zemeckis was like, I'm going to commit to another Western. It's an interesting movie. But it completes the trilogy, and that's the important thing. Did you and the guy who replaced Crispin Glover just sit around the set and go, where were the replacements? How weird is that? Like, form your own little group, you know, and like you're like the outsiders.
Yeah, it sucked.
Really? Was it bad?
It was really bad because I was wearing a wig and I was wearing pink pants, right? We're purple.
Yeah, yeah.
Pink,
you had to wear the same terrible outfit the girl from the movie several years earlier had worn.
Totally.
Like, it completely gone. Yeah. It wasn't in style to begin with and then got worse.
I remember in 1989, Back to the Future 2 came out and it had been 4 years. And I remember that's the first thing I thought was, wow, their clothes look really fucking stupid.
But if you're going to see somebody in grandma pants that's too young for them, it worked for you. You made it work.
I do have a good ass.
I love that you checked on the history of your wardrobe with Doug. You're like, wasn't I wearing pink pants? Doug's like, yeah, you were. Yeah.
Yeah, I love movies. I'm the person to go to. If you want to know something about a movie?
I'm going to get you a water, so you guys keep talking.
Oh, good idea. Thank you. Such a gentleman. Would you guys ever work with him, or based on what you know of him so far?
What's his name?
Rob Hubel. He was the guy.
I only work with people I've heard
not,
of
that nobody knows. Oh, here he is. He always has a lot of antics that are just for the podcast. Attendees,
I like to do
the people listening.
I like to do visual bits so that people on the podcast don't know what's going on.
You look like Andy Murray.
I don't know who that is.
He's that guy that looks like Rob Hubel. He's out there getting all your jobs.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, did you know that I was telling Adam this? I actually auditioned for Jerry's part. And because I read the script and I thought it was so awesome, I knew it was going to be like super cool. But I fucked it up because I went in into the audition. This is totally true. And when I went in there, I go, I was like, hey, I go, I think this is so hilarious and funny. And they were like, what? And I go, yeah, this is going to be awesome, man. It's so funny. And they're like, funny? So like I felt like I pissed them off, and then last night Paul Scheer, who I'm representing, we did a show at the Soho House, and upstairs, for real, Harvey Weinstein was at the Soho House, and I'd never met him before. And Scheer, I don't think had ever met him before, but so Scheer goes up to shake his hand and introduce himself, and Harvey Weinstein goes, "I know who you are, Paul." And he goes, "You're going to be in the sequel." And because they're going to do a sequel to this movie. And so then I started like trying to kiss his ass, trying to get in the movie, and he walked away. I was literally like, "Can I just tell you that my favorite part of the movie is when the two girls that are naked are swimming," and he just like walked away. I was like, "I cannot be in this movie. I want to get killed by a fish."
Well, Paul's death scene, they ran out of money. So they shot it, but then they couldn't afford all the CG fish.
Yeah, because it was on land, I think. He was like flailing around on land, and then so to do that effect was like way too expensive. They're like, "No, let's just have that guy vaguely live. We won't ever address."
And let's be serious about it. Like, those two characters, it's not a spoiler to say that those two guys die. Like, you know that from this big spoiler is the next time the TV commercial comes on, cover your eyes, because they show the very last shot from the movie in the TV commercial. It's so retarded.
That doesn't mean that he dies, though.
It doesn't. It and doesn't. Now I meant to try to not say that part. But anyway, now that you let it out of the bag.
No, but yeah, I didn't say what happened. None of us have said what happens.
They could start the sequel with Adam riding.
Yeah, exactly.
Down.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
But it's also, there's a secondary reveal going on there because, you know, there's a twist of what it is that's attacking you.
That's in the ad as well.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, that's the thing right now. The trailers just kind of show you everything and then hope you still love it.
Yeah.
When you see it all again. Like, that's all the shit I liked in the trailer, but stretched out. I was like, I wish this trailer was longer.
I know.
I wish it was feature length.
I saw Scheer shooting his death scene, too. And it was like an all day
thing.
It was brutal. It was
like a sad actor writhing around faking.
Oh, yeah. He was knee deep in the water pretending he had a fish attached to his nose. So for,
because they go after the zinc that he had on his nose through the whole movie.
For hours he's in the water going, "Ah! Ah!" For hours. I was on a boat going to like this holding area we had, and he was out there doing it. And then like 2 hours later, I'm going off to shoot, and he's still in the water going, "Ah!"
It would have been a great like prank on him if they had CGI'd that to be Jerry's dick. So he's like, "Oh,
oh, oh,
yeah,
oh!
Yeah, yeah."
Or if you wanted a cleaner version, they could just make it look like he's in a Shake Weight commercial. Men shouldn't do this. Wow, I've really eaten up a lot of time talking about whatever it was we were just talking about. I just want to touch on a couple more things. So let's go down the line here, starting with Adam. I'm just curious about it. We watched Torque together because you have a sense of humor about Torque. There they are again.
Okay.
I think they moved around the room, though. It was over there before. Like, they're sneaky, those people that come out to the screenings at CineFamily. But do you have another movie in your film vault that's like kind of funny unintentionally, or not your favorite?
Yeah, a bunch. like almost everything. Boy Meets World.
You can't yell that out. What if he was like, "Hey, man, that was awesome"?
Yeah. What the fuck are you talking about? Hellraiser 4, which Rob and I watched together. My death scene from that, which is pretty
it's pretty awesome.
How early do you go in that one?
Pretty early.
Okay, so that wouldn't be a good one to show at the
thing. No. I'm in tons of horrible shit.
But Torque really has a nice combination of funny and unintentionally funny. Like it straddles the line nicely.
Yeah, and it's unintentionally funny, and it's like a big budget thing, so it's fun to watch with it was kind of a perfect thing for
it was video director.
Yeah, Joseph
Kahn. So it's flashy in weird ways.
Yeah.
Like there's people, you don't see a character without seeing him in the reflection of something. So a rearview mirror quite a bit, sometimes side view.
Yeah.
Just like before, sometimes side sometimes front, yeah. So Elizabeth, do you have a movie like that other than Link? Obviously we already talked about Link.
No, none of my movies are funny.
You're in some classics. I didn't think of the other two that Leonard Maltin said were 3.5 stars, but I know they're in there. And
The first Karate Kid is really holds up. That's an awesome movie.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And
the cool thing is when we work together, I would ask you questions about everything, all those movies, and you were super cool about answering them, but you didn't think of any of it as anything. You're like, whatever, who gives a shit?
Yeah, I think I've had a pretty mediocre career.
Come on.
Wow.
Well, not until Piranha 3D. Now, I feel like I'm on my way back.
I have to say, I don't have to say it, I'm good anyway, that you really, you play the whole thing straight, and it's your performance is entirely believable, and the movie is ridiculous.
It's such
a crazy movie, and you're at the center of it, like, I gotta fucking save my kids. And that's the other thing that kind of bothered me about it, is like, tits, blood, children! It just sort of rotated between those three. They kept coming back to the children. Can they just be on that island safe and leave that alone? Like, we don't.
I swear they were trying to, am I wrong about this, that they would cut to that little girl right after a porn star? So your brain as a guy is like,
it was a terrible,
terrible. And then you like see this little girl that's like a cute little, and you're like, oh, stop that, brain.
I was talking to a guy after Torque the other night. I was talking to somebody, and I said, man, that scene where everybody gets attacked and you're trying to get everybody out of the water is like, that's like, watching a scene at Omaha Beach. And the person I'm talking to, within a few seconds, actually said out loud, yeah, and it's also like Saving Private Ryan.
He thought you were talking about Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, yeah. Some shit went down on their beach. Because first of all, there isn't one. Karate Kid, he gave 3.5 stars. And then also, interestingly, he loved Deconstructing Harry, the Woody Allen movie that you're in. It's kind of a controversial one. It's one of his dirtier movies.
I made out with Woody Allen.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Tongue and all.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Jesus.
Wow.
I thought she'd be a good guest, but this is...
What is his tongue
this
like?
This is awesome. I'm going to listen to this episode at home.
Does he have a neurotic tongue?
It moves around a lot.
Jesus.
So disturbing.
He was a really good kisser. Yeah, him and Tom Cruise
he
right up there.
He has to be. Right?
Yeah, he... Yeah.
He kind of has to be.
I enjoyed it.
He can't be a bad kisser. You'd so walk away from that.
What are some other dudes you've made out with in movies?
Good question.
This is a great...
God, it's a question.
I wanted to make
People
out with
are
him.
Fanning themselves.
I really did.
Yeah, why didn't
badly.
They do that? Why didn't...
Yeah, especially like that would have been funny if you got attacked at the end while making out with her.
Yeah.
Yay, we did it. Smooch, dead.
We asked for a makeout scene, but we didn't get one.
No, they weren't. They didn't. They didn't write that.
It wasn't about us.
But you what? Tom Cruise, Woody Allen,
Val Kilmer,
Ralph
Nick
Macchio.
Cage, Ralph Macchio. That was tongue.
Man.
Although he didn't use his tongue, it was very strange.
he
opened his mouth
him.
Very wide, and I remember. If you remember,
he was quite the man boy at that point, right? He looked. He really did look like he was 17, but he must have been 20 or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
27.
27. Jesus. I guess he was on 8 is Enough as the new, kid they adopt who's kind of a hooligan.
Who has lots of pubic hair.
Yeah.
So a huge bush. Just a huge bush.
Okay. You don't remember the character with a giant, giant fro of ball hair on 8 is Enough?
I love movies, so let's...
Do you want to ask me...
Take it back to movies.
Do you want to ask me, as Jerry O'Connell, what crappy movies I've been in? Or as...
Well, where is Paul Scheer? I think I have an answer, but what do you think he would say?
Well, I mean, Kangaroo Jack, right?
Yeah.
Did I do
that?
That's
what I think. I want to get him to screen Kangaroo Jack with me. I think that would be fun. Get the inside story on Kangaroo Jack. Did you ever see it, Elizabeth?
Never.
It's amazing. Because it's like they market it as, oh, it's a cute story about a kangaroo, but it's the story about, it's a like a chase movie about the kangaroo is wearing a jacket that has like drugs or gold or money in the pockets, and people are trying to kill each other over it. And there's just one scene where there's a fantasy where the kangaroo talks, and they use that in the ads, and then everybody went.
It did. It made
a
bunch of money.
Great opening weekend.
Yeah.
Like over Labor Day or
wait,
some
so the
shit. Like
kangaroo,
some weekend where you don't expect it.
He doesn't talk at all? Only in that
just
fantasy?
In the one scene where Anthony Anderson is like, oh, I've been walking in the desert for too long.
I'm not going to go
I'm
see it.
I'm in the
it.
Outback
no,
and I'm
it.
Sweating and I'm fat and I see a talking kangaroo. I'm serious. Same thing with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Snow Dogs. There's one scene where they talk and it's he hallucinates because he's cold.
Wait, are you being serious? Snow Dogs does not have
Snow
talking
dogs.
Dogs
is not about talking dogs.
I'm not gonna fucking see that movie then either. Fuck that.
Yeah, just
so
stick
annoying.
With Cats and Dogs, the Secret of Pussy Galore, or whatever it's called.
Oh my God.
That's no
Kitty,
no
the Revenge of Kitty Galore.
All kidding aside, that's actually a really good film.
You really like that one?
Yeah.
All right, I'll take your word for it. Okay, two more questions for Elizabeth Shue. Hollow Man, was it as creepy to watch it, I mean to make, as it was to watch? Like, did you have a feeling, oh my God, this is, when this guy gets his ability to get invisible, he gets pretty freaky with it.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that movie.
Yeah, it's kind of if I can use the word affront again to human beings, but women in particular. But for dudes, it's a rough movie too because it's so violent and gross that like you totally can't get off to all the strange nudity.
He had it.
Nice.
I was. I'm like, dude, this is not. Sorry. So if you notice, I'm wearing a bra.
Which is a classic move. Sex and the City perfected it year after year. Every time I had a girlfriend that wanted to watch that show, I would find it so frustrating, the leaving the bra on thing. But, you know, do
hot.
What you got to do. It's kind of hot.
It's kind of
really?
Hot. Yeah, the whole bra thing. Come on, girls. You know, you don't want to, like, be totally naked. You got to, like, take
well,
it off
true.
Slowly.
Well, it's true. You know, bras do make boobs look pretty awesome, but...
And it's better than showing your boobs in a Paul Verhoeven movie.
Exactly.
But like, at what point did it seem creepy to you? Like from the get-go, you were just like, this is just going to be a big movie, so I should do it. Or he was coming off of something good, right? Didn't he just make the Flying Bugs movie or something?
No, I needed money.
Wow. You know what? I got to talk to my internet guys. I think we should change the show to Strange Confessions. Doug loves Strange Confessions. But that's really awesome, and I appreciate it.
It was a huge movie.
No, not really. It made $20 million opening weekend. A lot better than Piranha 3D, however. But I think Piranha 3D is going to go on and on and on, don't you think?
Yeah, that movie's
well,
got
Well, that's
legs.
The thing about Hollow Man, is it's still they still play it on cable,
oh.
and it's like I'm watching it horrified and excited. Because it's got some good stuff in there, but it is a really creepy movie.
Yeah.
Doug, I love that your complaint about the movie is that it's too creepy for you to get off on.
Yeah. It's just like...
It's like not every... You don't have to...
Lambs. Jodie Foster's a sexy character, but...
But you don't have to get off on every movie.
There's only one great sex scene in that movie. What?
You don't have to masturbate to every movie.
Well, yeah, I love movies, and... Yeah, like, what's that movie of yours I can never get the title right? The Precious Kind?
The Vicious Kind?
Vicious Kind. Vicious Kind.
Really?
You're great in that. Great movie. I didn't think about masturbating once. But this whole show, we've been talking about Elizabeth Shue movies and not Adam Scott movies.
She just
or
did it again.
Rob Hubel, of course, is fantastic as the insanely overly tanned guy in I Love You, Man.
Did you,
so hilarious.
Did you masturbate to that movie?
Who was the girl in that?
Rashida Jones.
Yes. I was going to say yes no matter what you said. Too funny to pass up.
Is that why you didn't like cute. Inception?
Yeah, Inception, there's nothing to jerk off to. Ellen Page is cute, but she's very, you know, studious through the whole thing. She doesn't have a scene. Her hair's already down, so she doesn't let it down.
She didn't even take off her scarf in that movie.
What about that poor that lady? Did you laugh every day on the set that the woman that was hired because she's willing to go topless got her hair pulled in such a horrible way while your hair was nicely tied up as the sheriff would do it? That's another spoiler. And it's also not much of a question. I don't know what you were supposed to say after all of that. I feel like Chris Farley in that sketch that he would do. That was great. But yeah, so many great movies. But do you have you been told how to play the Leonard Maltin game? Because we have to play the Leonard Maltin game now.
I'll tell you real
He's
quick.
He's going to walk you through it. I don't know what I'm going to do while Adam explains. He's going to explain all the rules to her.
Make out.
Seriously, Rob.
They're about to make out.
We're not going
to
make out.
I'm not listening to anything he's saying. I'm thinking about when I'm going to kiss him.
All right. So Adam is going to... You guys should make out on this podcast. Because no one's going to see it. Everyone can be cool about it.
Oh, no!
You guys make the listeners so jealous with that shit. All right. You got to come see this thing live, man. Anything could happen.
That podcast is so visual, man.
That could happen. So on the episode that you can go on and buy now on iTunes, Rob Hubel consistently, I'll put the picture on Twitter, when we'd have contestants come up and play games, Rob Hubel would hang the microphone in front of their face like it was a dick hanging in front of their face and make up, there, now he's doing it again. And he would make them talk like that, and the audience would go apeshit, and of course the listeners are going to be like, what is so funny right now?
That's my favorite thing is to fuck up your podcast by doing things that only we can see.
All right, so do you have a good one cooked up for
yes, I've
the
handed
end of the show?
I've handed everyone out cupcakes that I made at home, and I want us all to try them and go, because then, see, people can't fucking hear that shit. It doesn't mean anything.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Dude, you didn't even smoke before this, did you?
No.
All right, let's play the Leonard Maltin game.
Lisa totally Adam. Doesn't understand, by the way.
Oh, this is going to be awesome. Adam, you're playing for Ryan. And
the guy I assaulted with the door.
Yeah. Oh, you did? You came in that door, and sometimes we hit people at the door. And Elizabeth, you'll be playing for Crystal over here. And, that's funny. Your shirt has the name Weinbach on it, as in Brent Weinbach. And I thought your name was, that was the name tag. Your name's Weinbach. But no. Next to you is... Next to you is Jessica with one of the nicest name tags I've seen. It's called a napkin from the shitter. All right. So, Rob Hubel, you'll play for Jessica. And we got some fabulous prizes, as always. I mean, these aren't the greatest prizes, so don't get too excited. We'll start. She's going to get this.
I think they're going to make out.
I didn't know this was on iTunes. Yeah.
Oh! Interesting.
Elizabeth, she just said in my ear, she just said, they don't print anything that's said in this, do they?
Oh, whoops. Okay, so... So let's do... It's since she doesn't know how to play the Leonard Maltin game... let's play a game called... What would you take back? Like, pick an item that you want. You know, pick three things that you want taken back, and then Rob and Adam and I will vote and decide. And I will put a bleep or something over one of the things that you said. So pick one, or pick a few, and we'll pick which one we like the best.
I'll tell you later.
I wanted to do it in front of everybody. Because you're going to be bad at the Leonard Maltin game. All right, so Crystal, I will play on behalf of Elizabeth, so that means you may or may not win. This is going to be interesting. I'm going to play her part, and I'm going to obviously know the answer, but I'm going to try to play it from what I think her perspective would
what?
Be. Wait, what? I'm not going to say I know it ever, but I'm going to say name that movie to you guys when you bid a number that I don't think you can get it in.
But what does that have to do with Crystal?
She'll win if I win.
Oh, so you're playing for Crystal?
No. It doesn't make any sense, Adam.
Fuck.
It's a complete mess. But you'll get it as we
play. I feel like I fell asleep for like 20 minutes and missed a bunch of shit.
Well, it's a good thing the van fell in the river.
Is everyone enjoying the
now
hilarious... the hilarious cupcakes that I passed out?
I can't believe... Now, so you're going to... When we get backstage, you're going to be like, you have to
did
leave
it.
The
they
cupcake
just did
thing.
It. They just did it. They went, mmm. So the assholes that listen to this podcast are like, fuck.
I'm you're going to be like, if Elizabeth could take out I get to take out the whole cupcake thing that went nowhere.
I'm going to keep doing it. I'm sorry for calling all the listeners at home assholes. You're okay. Not assholes.
So we'll start down there with you, Rob. So there'll be two people before we get to Elizabeth, and since she can kind of catch on. Rob, would you like to play a movie from the category Monkeys! Exclamation point. Link isn't in there, by the way. In theaters now, or in honor of Piranha, 3D or not 3D, depending on where you read it. Because the opening title just says Piranha.
That's true.
Scary fish movies.
Scary fish movies.
And it's not movies with Abe Vigoda, who played fish. But that would be a good category. Which one do you want?
Scary fish
scary
movies.
Scary fish movies. Yeah. Here we go. Would you like a scary fish movie from 1976, 1983, or 1999?
99.
Scary fish.
99.
Here we go. Leonard Maltin gives it 2.5 stars. It's from 1999. He says about it, somewhat exciting, or sometimes exciting. Sometimes exciting. And he also says, Ronnie Cox appears unbilled. Ronnie Cox. See, Elizabeth, the clues are kind of devised to make it even harder to figure out what the hell I'm talking about. And there are 8 names. Start with Rob Hubel. How many names do you think you can get it in? See, now it's like name that.
I can name that movie in 8 names.
8 names. So now Adam could bid lower or say name that movie.
It's
from the bottom up. So you're always number
so
like
Ronnie Cox appears unbilled. What was the other clue?
It's kind of
scary. Sometimes exciting.
Okay. I'll go 5 names.
5. See, now you can say to Adam, name that movie, and he's got to name it, or you can bid less names. Which would you like to do?
Name that movie.
Boom. Good call. How many names was it?
5.
Okay. Aida, I think I pronounced that right, Turturro, you know, from Sopranos. LL Cool J, from LL Cool J. Stellan Skarsgård, Michael Rappaport, and Jacqueline, the great Jacqueline McKenzie.
That would be Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea is the answer. See, did you hear people gasping because they knew it? We're such nerds. You're amongst such nerds. And you talked about side boobs, so it's the best day of our lives. That was fantastic. Or is that what you're going to want us to take out?
No, the side boobs are
okay,
right.
Cool. Side boobs are cool. All right, so Adam gets the point on that one. And let's start with you and let you pick. Would you like, from these categories, in theaters now, that's movies that are playing right now, scary fish movies, or Stephen King adaptations, movies based on Stephen King stuff? A guy just,
I think
like,
this gentleman here
shot a load over that category. Oh, if I were up there, I'd turn it into a Paul Verhoeven movie. So, which of those categories do you
what
like?
What do we get if we win this game?
You win prizes for your audience member, Crystal.
Okay.
I remember that without even turning around. So proud. I'm gonna call
well,
my parents.
I'm not winning anything, so.
Yeah, that's the spirit.
You're welcome, Crystal.
Do it for equality.
I'll do in theaters now. I'm so bad.
Okay. Have you been to the movies lately?
No, but I do look at the newspaper.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You're aware of what's going on.
Slightly.
All right, I'm going to pick a movie because you can't pick the year because it's this year.
So it's not necessarily in theaters now, but it just came out this year?
No, it's in theaters now.
Right now?
Yeah, and right now would be this year.
All right, Doug.
Just says he had a good time.
That's the
Wait,
clue.
Is this a review of a movie or a massage? No, he says he had a good time. And, God, it's so hard to pick things that don't give it away. He's just, every word gives it away. oh. The story is a collection of amiable cliches. Okay, amiable cliches. That other thing I said earlier. He had a good time. And there are 11 names. So you should probably start with like a really high bid.
11.
11 names. Says Miss Shu.
I can name that movie in 7 names.
7 names, Adam?
I can go 5.
See, again.
4.
Can, oh. Wow.
I'm not winning anything.
All right.
Is it to me?
Yeah.
You named that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What's happening? The show's going to run long. Okay. We got down to 5, right?
4.
4.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, so let's just move on.
What do you mean?
The names are... Do you have kind of an idea what movie it might be?
No.
Okay.
I had a
the
good
names
time.
Are Ali Maki is in this. Joe Slaughter. Spelled like it sounds. And the twins, Facundo and Martin Lombard.
Dude, those clues
That's
are
so not
terrible.
Okay.
Movies that are in theaters now. It's not just Inception,
okay,
obviously.
Okay, okay.
Let's narrow it down, guys. What is it not? It's not Scott Pilgrim.
It's not Cats and Dogs.
That's not in theaters now.
Sure it is.
Barely. $2 theater. I didn't see it yesterday.
Is it a small film or a big film?
Now, the clue part gets me a little... I'm not sure if I should do that. That's breaking the rules.
I think the you gave 2 clues. That's pretty much the...
Yeah, those are the clues.
Sorry, Crystal. I don't know.
She doesn't know it. Does anybody here know it?
Yeah.
Step Up 3D. Step Up 3D is the answer.
Man!
Yeah, that's why I was laughing, because you probably wouldn't have recognized a single name in the cast.
Oh, those fucking twins?
Yeah!
Fuck those
Facundo
guys, man!
And Martin!
Fuck those guys. Have you guys seen this movie? Yeah, go see funny. It. It's amazing, but fuck those twins.
Who said name that movie? You?
I did.
All right, so
I
you
got
have a point.
Point
now. So here we go. This is gonna finish it.
You're welcome, we'll whoever I just got that point for. Toilet
Start
napkin
Adam.
Lady.
Adam, would you like monkeys, fish, king?
Stephen King.
Here we go. Stephen King adaptations. Would you like 86, 95, or 2007?
86.
Here we go. Leonard Maltin calls this a bomb. He doesn't give it to many movies other than Link. He says about it. Calls it a junk movie. Stupid and boring. I mean, it's a bomb. What's he supposed to do? Say, they gave it a nice try.
I already like it.
6 names, Adam, Scott. How many names do you think you can get it in?
Stupid and boring.
Stupid and boring bomb based on Stephen King's work from 1986.
19 what?
86.
How many names out of 6?
I'll go 5.
5 names, says he.
Five names, says he.
Does that go to me?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Damn it.
That's why I'm glaring at you.
Do I have to go lower?
For now, let's say yes.
Can I just say name that movie?
How many names?
Five. He's not going to get
pussy.
It. Okay. No, if you're going to call me a pussy, I can name that
five
movie.
Five names. Wait, let me look at it. He might not get it in five names.
Yeah, that's why I said name that movie, man.
I don't want to dissuade you from.
You call me a pussy on a national podcast. Everyone listening now thinks I'm
pussy,
a pussy.
International. They have the internet in France now. All right, here we go. Five names. J.C. Quinn, John Short, Yardley Smith, who we all know and love as the voice of...
Don't say that.
Some character.
Bart Simpson.
Laura Harrington and Pat Hingle are in this bomb. The only name you didn't get is what could be the giveaway name for this Stephen King adapt.
Is that name Emilio Estevez?
People are aghast and shocked and delighted. No clues.
Yeah, I was just looking for anything on your face that would tell me the answer to that.
No,
question.
I play poker.
Oh, I don't.
You're right. Whatever it is you're thinking.
Is it Maximum Overdrive?
It is Maximum Overdrive, starring Emilio Estevez, directed by Stephen King.
Yeah. And it is quite terrible.
Yeah, and it's not. It's kind of a mess. Yeah.
That movie is not stupid or boring.
It's amazing.
Let me get some quick plugs in here at the end. Hypocritical Oath, as I said, plops on August 31st, so you can get that on iTunes or in stores. It's got a DVD attached to it, so if you buy it, physical copy, you get the DVD. I'll be at the Comedy Factory in Baltimore September 9th, 2010. I'll be at the Arlington Draft House in Arlington, Virginia, September 10th and 11th. And this is crazy. On Monday, September 13th, here in Los Angeles, we're going to do the Benson Interruption at Largo. But it's going to be a double bill with, we're going to do a podcast taping of the absolute finals of the Tournament of Championships of the Leonard Maltin game. The three top finalists are going to compete, and we're going to record it and put it on the internet. And then we're also going to do a Benson Interruption. And do you guys have anything to plug? We'll start with Rob on the end.
He's I'd like to plug my new...
ongoing
my
children's
new,
hospital.
My new lawyer show with Jim Belushi. Wednesday nights at 10 on CBS. What's the name of my show? It's like, hey, legal
the
lawyers.
Defenders.
The Defenders, yes.
I'd like to plug that show, too, because my husband directed the pilot.
Oh, yeah.
And we could use the money. And, of course, Piranha 3D.
Yeah, I'm being serious. Like, if you have not seen that movie, you're living your life in the wrong way. It's so fun. I'm not kidding. And I'm not just saying that because you guys are here. It's really fun.
If you love carnage and breasts and breast carnage, then it's the movie for you. If you saw someone punching a guy in the face while he was on fire in The Expendables and said, that's bullshit, The Piranha might be the movie for you because it's much more realistic. All right, I got to write these names down before I forget. Did you guys all get your plugs in?
I don't really, I mean, Piranha.
Do you have anything? Go see Piranha. You got something in the can that's coming out soon?
Parks and Rec will start again.
Parks and Rec.
Oh, and Party Down. Party Down came out.
What's happening to Party Down?
It came out on iTunes today, season 2.
Oh, okay.
And it'll be free again soon on Netflix or somewhere else.
But there's a marathon kind of being planned somewhere in LA.
Yeah, at Cinefamily in November we're going to do a 1-day marathon of both seasons of Party Down.
Whoa!
So does that equal out to 10 hours of Party Down in a movie theater with a bunch of smelly nerds?
So you won,
and
Ryan.
I'm talking about the cast. We'll all be there.
We gotta go. We gotta wrap it up. But you won Ryan, Adam Scott. You won him copies of all three of my CDs. Now I have three of them: Professional Humor Idiot on AST Records, and Hypocritical Oath and Unbalanced Load on Comedy Central Records. And let's thank the guests again. Thanks for coming, you guys. Paul Scheer was here. Jerry O'Connell. Academy Award nominee Elizabeth Shue. Who might, some of her stuff might be bleeped. And Adam Scott. The great Adam Scott. And as always, James Cameron is a shithead. And Tucker Max? Is that right? Tucker Max is a shithead.
Who's that?
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold is viewing prowess makes him cocky.